Hey, thanks for spending time with me. Riznowski here. This is Porchlight. I hope you won't consider this a commercial endorsement, but since the product in question hasn't been marketed for over half a century, I'm probably in the clear. Pluto water was the bottled version of natural sulfur springs commonly found throughout South Central Indiana. Taking the waters, it was once called. Good for what ails you, it was once claimed. I come by this association honestly. My childhood home in upstate New York was surrounded by many mineral spring spas popular in the decades that long preceded me. Ballston Spa, Saratoga Springs, Richfield Springs. Truth be told, next maybe head cheese and canned plums, Pluto water might be the most challenging consumable ever produced. Magnesium sulfate gives this magic potion the odor, aroma of rotten eggs, not that it ever dissuaded the fervent and the faithful. These waters are initially what gave French Lick and the nearby West Baden Resort their reputation, and also provided convenient cover for years of illegal gambling. West Baden had taken its name from the famous German spa Baden-Baden. French Lick came by its name from the early trappers and traders, no matter what might be suggested by that ageless joke. Indiana, where South Bend is in the north, North Vernon is in the south, and French Lick isn't all it's cranked up to be either. The most famous spokesperson for Pluto water was never featured in print ads, even while being a devoted user of the stuff since childhood. Louis Armstrong dedicated an entire suitcase to ensure himself an ample supply for his many travels. There's actually a picture of him in a dressing room backstage with a bottle of Pluto water plainly visible to his left. Appropriately, our travels in this episode will take us to French Lick, Indiana, in the summer of 1958 for a jazz festival unlike any other. For what we're about to see or smell, you'll need your imagination. And for what we're about to hear, it couldn't hurt. This is jazz performed live in 1958. It's also good for what ails you.
Half a mile from the county fair, and the rain came pouring down. Me and Billy standing there with a silver half a crown. Had the full of a fishing rod and the tackle on our backs. We just stood there getting wet with our backs against the fence. Oh, the water. Oh, the water. Oh, the water. Hope it don't rain all day. And it stung me to my soul. Stung me just like Jelly Roll. And it stung me. Yet it stung me to my soul. Stung me just like going home. And it stung me. And the rain let up and the sun came up. We were getting dry. Almost let a pickup truck nearly pass us by. So he jumped right in the driver grin, and he dropped us up the road. And we looked at the swim, and we jumped right in, not to mention fishing poles. Oh, the water. Yeah, that stung me to my soul. Stung me just like Jelly Roll. Yeah, that stung me. Yeah, that stung me to my soul. Stung me just like going home. Yeah, that stung me.
but our throats were getting dry. Then we saw the man from across the road with the sunshine in his eyes. Well, he lived all alone in his own little home with a great big gallon jar. There were bottles too, one for me and you, and he said, hey, there you are. Oh, the water. Jetted myself from the mountain stream, yet it stung me to my soul. Saw me just like Kelly Road, yet it stung me. Yet it stung me to my soul. Saw me just like going home, yet it stung.
You couldn't have felt worse with no sleep at all. Yes, morning finds you limp as a rag and blue as indigo. How you dread to face another day. Achy, dull, yes, only half alive. You feel and act like an old, old man. Yet, strangely enough, the cause of your rundown condition is simplicity itself. Yes, friends, simplicity. And to take care of your simplicity problems, to restore you to full vigor and health, take Athnesia with Pluto Water.
It is a dance we do in silence, far below this morning sun. You in your life, me in mine, we have begun. Here we stand and without speaking, draw the water from the well, and stare beyond the plains to where the mountains lie so still. But it's a long way that I have come, across the sand to find this peace among your people in the sun, where the families work the land as they have always done. Oh, it's so far the other way my country's gone. Across my home has grown the shadow of a cruel and senseless hand, though in some strong hearts the love and truth remain. And it has taken me this distance and a woman's smile to learn that my heart remains among them, and to them I must. Across the sand to find you here among these people in the sun, where your children will be born, you'll watch them as they run. Oh, it's so far the other way my life has gone. If you look for me, Maria, wide awake or in a dream, it's hard to tell. If you come to me, Maria, I will show you what I've made. It's a picture for Our Lady of the Well.
The Mystical Powers of Water, courtesy of Van Morrison, Firesign Theater, and Jackson Browne. The Mystical Powers of Place and Time, the first annual French Lick Music Festival, occurring on three consecutive summer weekends in 1958, with Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 15th through 17th, devoted exclusively to jazz. A large stage set up on the back lawn, folding chairs for the audience, tickets for each evening ranging from $2.30 to $4.50. The ancient Hindu mantra in play here, lead us from unreal to real. Hard to say how far we'll get in this particular instance, but for guidance, we'll turn to a member of the jazz faithful, David Brent Johnson. While David was born well after the event in question, if anyone could have been there in spirit, he'd be your guy. David, I wanted to ask you, first of all, was this common in the late 1950s? Were there a lot of jazz festivals emerging across the country that brought together all these performers?
I'm not aware of a whole lot of other ones that were going on at the time. I think it was still a pretty new thing. George Wein, who organized the French Lick Jazz Festival, had really gotten Newport rolling just a few years before. I think the first Newport Festival was in 1954, and that had been successful. He'd been doing a lot of jazz promoting at his club in Boston, Storyville, which featured traditional jazz, which we might now call Dixieland, considered at that time already a throwback to a more 1920s New Orleans-style sound, which Eddie Condon's group represented at French Lick in 1958. But Wein also would bring people like Charlie Parker to Storyville, Chet Baker, who represented the rise of West Coast jazz. Charles Mingus played at Storyville. Young men who got into jazz in the 1930s and 40s maybe entered through Louis Armstrong and more traditional sounding jazz. And then when bebop emerged, it was the younger critics that seemed more open to it initially. And I think even promoters, they knew they had to expand the boundaries of what they were presenting beyond their own personal taste. 1940s, 1950s, Coleman Hawkins, maybe you've heard him a couple of times on a friend's record or something. Maybe you've been able to tune into a late night jazz show, but it wasn't so easy. It was very exciting to see these musicians in person.
When you look at this 1958 lineup, for instance, what are the acts that you really would have been intrigued by? What catches your eye?
When I look at this lineup, the 1958 festival, you've got Duke Ellington, you've got Errol Garner, who was very popular already at that point as a jazz pianist, the Jerry Mulligan Quartet, which is a very modernistic group at that point, Dizzy Gillespie's group, which was popular but continuing to kind of evolve musically. You've got some Indiana representation with the Four Freshmen, and then Al Cobine's group playing in 1958. I think Wein did a good job at both Newport and the French Lick Jazz Festivals of providing a wide representation of what was going on in the jazz scene at that time. I would have been thrilled to see Duke Ellington, just because I'm a longstanding Duke Ellington fan. And in 1958, he was a couple of years into his so-called comeback or renaissance that had begun 2 years prior at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1956. Ellington slogging through the early 50s without Billy Strayhorn, still putting out good music, but I don't think anybody would argue that it's an artistically great period for Ellington, that he was really, by Ellington standards, at a bit of a low point, and then in 1956 has this incredible performance at Newport, capped by his tenor saxophonist Paul Gonsalves taking a 27-chorus-long solo on Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue that just sends the audience into a frenzy. Ellington would later quip that he had been born again at Newport. Wynton Marsalis cites that era of Ellington as his favorite era for just the band, the sound of the band, the late 50s, early 60s. The long-timers were still in their kind of middle age prime and been with Ellington for a long time. And I would have loved to have seen Duke Ellington in 1958. I would have greatly enjoyed seeing the Jerry Mulligan Quartet. Art Farmer, I think, was the trumpeter at the time in that group, and Mulligan was a key figure in the West Coast jazz movement.
Do you think that jazz in the late 1950s had really made a transition geographically to the Midwest, that a majority of the people who attended these two festivals for the jazz were fans of this music, aware of what they were hearing, or it just seemed like a nice summer festival outdoors?
Yeah, that's hard to say. Jazz was still a semi-popular music, commercially speaking. I think jazz occupied a bigger place in the overall cultural consciousness then than it does now. And so I'm sure there were a lot of concert goers. They liked Earl Garner. Maybe they had Concert by the Sea. Probably a lot of folks there that would be buying time out in the next couple of years. Indianapolis had had a thriving jazz scene that was still going in the late 1950s. There were still clubs open on Indiana Avenue. I had a friend who told me about driving up to Indianapolis in the late 1950s just to go in search of live jazz, and went down to Indiana Avenue and went to one of the clubs. It was either George's or Henri's, and saw and recorded a young group called the Jazz Contemporaries that featured a 20-year-old Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, as well as Jimmy Spaulding and Larry Ridley. You see these guys' names on Blue Note records from the 1960s, but I do think the state genuinely had a vital music scene in the early and mid-20th century, of which jazz played a strong part. So late 1950s, French Lick is right in the middle of all of this.
As far as I can tell, there were only two female headliners performing during the 1958 French Lick Music Festival. And unless the symphonic conductors had any outliers sitting in their orchestra chairs, they would have been the only women on the stage, period. On the Saturday country music bill that featured Ray Price and his Cherokee Cowboys, Wilma Lee Cooper, appearing with her husband Stoney for the jazz weekend, spanning the considerable distance between Jerry Mulligan, Gene Krupa, and Eddie Condon, was the Barbara Carroll Trio, Barbara on piano, fronting a rhythm section. This is music that's perfect for a wood-paneled den in a mid-century modern home back when they were actually modern. Thank you. Nice to be with you. You're listening to Porch Light with Tom Rusnowski.
Track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back, 'cause I'm moving on, I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. That big loud whistle as it blew and blew said hello to the Southland, we're coming to you, and we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had the laugh on me, so I've set you free, and I'm moving on. Won't you please listen to me, 'cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. So shovel the coal, let this rattler roll, and keep moving me on. Mr. Engineer, take that throttle in hand, this rattler's the fastest in the southern land. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. You're gonna ease my mind, put me there on time, and keep rolling on. I've told you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen, no pay me no mind. Now I'm moving on, I'm rolling on. You've broken your vow and it's all over now, so I'm moving on. You switched your engine, now I ain't got time for a trifling woman on my main line, 'cause I'm moving on. You done your daddy wrong. I warned you twice, now you can settle the price, 'cause I'm moving on. But someday, baby, when you've had your play, you're gonna want your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep moving on. You stayed away too long. I'm through with you, too bad you're blue, keep moving on.
I'm just a fool for staying home, having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me. A bad mistake I'm making by just hanging round.
Hanging round.
I know that I should have some fun and paint the town.
Paint the town.
A lovesick fool that's blind and just can't see. I still love her so, and brother, don't you know, I'd welcome her right back here in my arms. There must be some way I can lose these lonesome blues, forget about the past and find somebody new. I've thought of everything from A to C. She's not like me. She's out and fancy free. She's flirting with the boys with all her charm. I still love her so, and brother, don't you know, I'd welcome her right back here in my arms. There must be some way I can lose these lonesome blues, forget about the past and find somebody new. I've thought of everything.
We mentioned earlier that the inaugural French Lick Music Festival was held over three consecutive weekends in August 1958. The jazz weekend was followed by a country music weekend featuring headliners such as Hank Snow, Ernest Tubb, Ray Price, and Don Gibson. A symphonic weekend with full orchestras and three separate conductors rounded out the festivities. That was Hank and Don there. Both have earned the kind of respect that still carries an outstanding balance. Hank Snow is yet another great Canadian singer-songwriter. I'm Moving On is one of his. He sang it over 2,000 times from the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. So how many songwriters are able to say they were covered by Patsy Cline, Ray Charles, and Neil Young? Why, Don Gibson could. So revered in his day that there's actually an album entitled Roy Orbison Sings Don Gibson. It's on my Christmas list.
Those happy hours.
Roll.
everybody's going out and having fun. I'm a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over. Forget about the past, find someone new. I've thought of everything from A to Z. Flirting with the boys with all her charms, but I still love her so. And brother, don't you know I'd welcome her right back here in my some way that I can lose these lonesome blues. Forget about my past, find someone new. I can't get over.
A small framed portrait, a lighted candle. Corner shrine for one Leonard Marx. You probably don't know him as Leonard. His nickname stuck instead, the product of his early reputation as a rogue with women. Chicken chaser was the term often used back then, so it became Chico for short. Chico loved to gamble, too. But has there ever really been a successful gambler? A career as an entertainer seemed far less risky by comparison. After three successful Broadway shows, Chico Marx and his brothers transitioned to the movies. You probably know the rest of that story. Chico was the oldest, past 40 by the time Coconuts came out in 1929. The movie was actually shot at Paramount Studio in Queens, New York during the day, which allowed the Marx brothers to perform nightly in their current Broadway hit, Animal Crackers. Outside of those long hours, Chico needed to attend to the extracurriculars. Big money was rolling in, but with Chico, it left just as quickly. The Big Store was their 11th full-length feature in as many years and was intended to be their last, but Chico's mounting debts convinced the brothers otherwise. It was toward the end of that year, 1941, that Chico embarked on a long-held dream that also held the promise of short-term cash. With the help of jazz musician and manager Ben Pollock, Chico Marx fronted a 16-piece orchestra that offered a mix of music and comedy. Not only was Chico outfitted in his trademark Tyrolean costume, but so were all the members of the band. Featuring Chico Marx in his Revellis, the name of his character in Animal Crackers, although by the time the band hit Chicago, the marquee would simply read Chico Marx and his orchestra. Being a big band on the road in the 1940s was not dissimilar to having a gambling habit. As long as the money was there, and even when it wasn't, you just kept playing. And so, a tour of Wisconsin, with stops in Sheboygan, Kenosha, and Oshkosh. 3 nights at the Paramount Theater in Waterloo, Iowa. Much of the stage act, like the time spent between, was predictable. The Beer Barrel Polka and Gypsy Love Song, with Chico at the piano shooting the keys, joking in his fake accent, or sweeping the keyboard with a fresh orange. Real crowd pleasers, and the crowds were good. The ensemble included a young singer and drummer named Mel Torme. The Chico Marx Orchestra lasted for about 18 months, disbanding after a performance in San Francisco in July of 1942. Squeezed into their Midwest itinerary, an appearance at the French Lick Hotel. All the illegal gambling there probably guaranteed that Chico's take stayed right where it was.
Hey, mister, can I play the piano?
Hey, he said yes. All right.
Yeah, sure. 2 minutes, all that we got.
Music is experienced internally, both by the listener and the performer. The evolution of jazz over its relatively short history uniquely reflects this. In the 1920s and 30s, jazz was primarily regarded as music for dancing. Often the type of dance, say foxtrot, was suggested right there on the record label. With the transition from big bands to small ensembles, jazz would become more meditative. Increasingly, jazz fans sat and listened. For dancing, the swing era would soon be displaced by rhythm and blues, then rock and roll. The Four Freshmen made an appearance on the final evening of the jazz weekend for the French Lick Music Festival in 1958. Now, you may not consider this vocal group to be jazz per se, but Brian Wilson considered their influence to be essential in how he would later envision the Beach Boys. You will surely hear that influence in this rare recording of the four freshmen's performance at French Lick. Like other contemporary jazz acts from the late 1950s, their music accommodated listening rather than dancing. You can imagine how these voices filled the moment there and then. You can also be sure that Brian Wilson was imagining, too. As we mentioned, French Lick has a lot of experience activating the internal.
The four freshmen, Don and Ross Barber, Bob Flanagan, and Ken Albers.
Water was immortalized in the advertising slogan, "When nature won't, Pluto will." One theory is that it is to distract from the fact that it smells and tastes horrible. People say it tastes as bad as it smells. Pluto is named for the Greek god of the underworld, where they believe the springs come from. Sales of the tonic grew 25-fold, from 1903 to 1919. By 1919, it took 450 railroad cars to transport the bottler's output. It was sold in drugstores around the world and awarded a blue ribbon at the World's Fair in Paris.
I would not be the best person to encourage dancing, since until recently, I've been unsuccessful in convincing even myself. These days, though, it seems critical to practice experiencing one's body in space and time, if only to be in a position to move quickly. That does sound a little like dancing. So for these next steps in learning steps, the musical accompaniment ideally should come from an unexpected source. The Dave Brubeck Quartet appeared in French Lick, Indiana, for both of the music festivals held in 1958 and 59. The highly regarded classic lineup of this ensemble would first be set in 1958, with Dave on piano, Paul Desmond playing tenor sax, and a rhythm section featuring bassist Gene Wright and drummer Joe Morello. In July of 1959, the group would record the song Take Five, the title referring to the unconventional time signature of the piece, 5/4. A rhythm of 5 quarter notes to the bar. Nice beat, but can you dance to it? Recently, I chanced to discover another song by the same quartet that's pretty easy to dance to. Not that Take Five isn't. I do love the title, La Paloma Azul, the Blue Dove. Would that be the mourning dove I'll often hear, carrying a sad song, but still capable of sudden flight? I notice that upon ascent, its wings make a whistling sound. Now, before any leap is attempted, a few halting steps, then repeat. Soon, you and maybe your chosen partner will wind up elsewhere. This would certainly qualify as dancing. To encourage actual participation, the parting word here to Betty Bacall from To Have and Have Not, a quote.
What'd you do that for?
Been wondering whether I'd like it.
What's the decision?
I don't know yet. It's even better when you help.
And so, next time.
Thank you.
Porchlight is engineered by our radio audio director, Mike Pascash, production assistance from Luann Johnson. Our executive producer is John Bailey. At wfiu.org/porchlight, you will find commentary, postcard images, and an archive of every episode.